Today, we get to continue our series on Transformers. Transformers, right? But I have a little treat for you, but it's not something you can eat. And I have enough for everybody to have one who wants one. Did you ever just feel like you need to do something with your fingers while you're listening or watching TV? Your fingers just need to be busy. This is a fun little thing. It has a marble in the middle, and it's just fun to play with. But here's the thing. They're all spread out across the stage because I want to honor social distancing. And when you come up to get one, look with your eyes first, decide which one you want, and then touch that one only, okay? So if you want one, come and get it while I'm talking. In the next 1 minute, go. Ready, go. They're fun to play with. I'll probably play with them while I'm preaching, actually, because they're kind of fun to mess with. And if you have a grandchild, they might like it. And if you're on a Zoom call, it would be great to play with while you have a Zoom call going on. Yeah, just grab one. You guys are awesome. I love you so much. So, I interviewed the Changs a couple of weeks ago because I needed an education on Transformers. My kids never got into Transformers, so I needed an education. And while they were telling me why they like Transformers and we were talking about it, I asked each of them what their favorite Autobot was. Now, an Autobot is a good guy in the Transformers. So I asked them, what's your favorite Autobot? Isaac said, I like Optimus Prime. Because he's a leader and I'm a leader. I like that answer. That's really good, right? For those of you who don't know, that's the one I shared the clip with last week, and you'll see another clip soon. He's the one that becomes a truck, okay? Miles said, I like Blaster because he likes music. And I think it's hilarious that Miles likes to be loud. I love that about Miles. I know, thank you, Blaster. He becomes a boombox instead of a truck. So that just totally fits Miles. Totally fits Miles. Lily, she said, I like Windblade because she flies. She becomes a plane. That is awesome. Roger, who's been following Transformers for a long time, he said, yep. He said, I like Jetfire. Jetfire was a Decepticon, a bad guy, and then he changed over to become an Autobot. That's a Roger answer, right? I like that too. I like that. He was the first one to fly. Jetfire was the first one to fly. Blaster! With your boombox. Blaster! So how do we transform? How do we transform into a truck that carries the good news of the kingdom? How do we transform into a boombox like Blaster, who broadcasts the music of love and peace and kindness and joy? How do we do that? And hope. How do we transform into a plane that can fly high no matter what our circumstances are? Today, that's what we're going to talk about. We transform in beholding. I find it fascinating that God gave us the theme 2020 Behold back in November before we could have possibly comprehended exactly how much we would need to behold. It's amazing. And I find myself returning to it. Here it is, September, the middle of September, almost the end of September. And I find myself returning to that word over and over and over again. Behold. 2020, behold. So today we're going to look at two people in the Bible. They're before and after they beheld God. their before and after. Now, that's an interesting study. There are countless people. I really wanted to talk about Hagar today. Didn't have time to get her in. I wanted to talk about Mary Magdalene. Like, wow, what a transformation in her life after she beheld Jesus. What a transformation. There are so many men and women in the Bible who had massive transformations before they beheld and then after they beheld. So if you want to do some interesting research, do that this week. It will touch you. But today we're going to look at Isaiah as our first person. And Doug, I don't think you saw the notes for my message this week, did you? Did you see them? I don't think so. I shared them with Ron and Roger, so unless you got them from Ron and Roger, then you didn't see them. He's quoting part of my verse that I'm using during worship today. That's so awesome. I was like jumping out of my chair. I was getting so excited about it. I didn't literally jump. I have a thing going on with my leg, so I'm trying to take care of it right now. By the way, before we talk about that, did you know a miracle happened in Cleveland this week? A miracle happened. 3,000 people gathered on the shores of Lake Erie at Edgewater Park, even though the mayor blocked the park entrances to buildings. Don't get me started on that one. Okay? 3,000 people said, hey, it doesn't matter if we have to walk up a hill 2 miles, we're going. And the people putting on the worship event said, it doesn't matter if we have to haul equipment uphill 2 miles, we're doing it. We won't have a stage, but we'll haul everything else. Now, if you're in the tech team, you understand, the worship team, you understand, ooh, that is not an easy task. I wasn't able to go because of my leg, but Natalie and Carly went. Did anybody else go? I watched it live on Facebook in my living room and was sobbing. Sobbing. People were worshiping their hearts out for like 2.5 hours. Salvations taking place all over the place. Hands were going up. Then they walked pretty far distance down this hill to Lake Erie so that they could baptize them in the cold water of Lake Erie. Water baptisms happening. It was so beautiful. If you haven't seen it on Facebook, look it up. Sean Foyt, the guy I've been talking about for months, has been doing this all across the country. It was beautiful. It was beautiful to behold. It was beautiful. Celebrate. Celebrated. I think something happened in our city. There were lots of prophetic signs during the event. The clouds were shaped, I don't know, very supernaturally. And there were, what do you call those? Huh? Hang gliders or, yeah, wind sailing or something. I don't know, whatever it's called. We're going above the crowd. It was beautiful and powerful. And look it up. Just look it up to get yourself pumped up. So today we're going to talk about Isaiah and what he experienced in beholding. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, we're going to look at before beholding. Before beholding, it says, it was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne and the train of his robe filled the temple. That's the part Doug quoted during worship. And he accurately said, it doesn't just mean the train of the robe filled the temple. It means the train of the robe kept on filling up the temple. It's a present progressive action. Kept on filling up the temple. Here's the cool thing. Bring it forward to now. Who is the temple? I am. You are. So 20 years ago, I thought I was full of God. 10 years later, I said, woo, I got some more God going on. Now, I still feel like I'm growing and getting filled with the glory of God. And 10 years from now, I'll look back and say, man, I thought I had all of it then, and now I have more. That's what happens with God. The train of his robe kept on filling up the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings, they covered their faces. With 2, they covered their feet, and with 2, they flew. They were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Now we're going to pause there before we read verses 4 and 5. Because I find it incredibly fascinating that the angels said in that moment, the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. Because the earth was a mess, y'all. It was a mess. Still is a mess. But from the angel's perspective, the earth was filled with the glory of God. I want to get an angel's perspective. I don't think the angels couldn't see the mess. I think the glory of God became greater than the mess. Became bigger than the mess. Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, this is Isaiah talking, it's all over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King. I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Okay, before we go on, some of us, we get that far, and then we run away. I'm doomed. I'm a sinful person. I have filthy lips, and I live among people who have filthy lips. I like that Isaiah owned his own filthy lips before he started saying other people had filthy lips. Little lesson there for me and for you. But notice that Isaiah did not run away when he felt that. Some of us, we get close enough to God that we feel something like that, although Jesus has made full payment, that we don't have to feel that way. We don't have to, but we get to that point where we experience some conviction, which is good. It's a gift. Conviction is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And then we run away. Isaiah didn't run away. I love that. But notice in the first verse, Isaiah had a choice. He said it was in the year that King Uzziah died. The King James Version actually says that I also saw the Lord lifted high and the train of his robe filled the temple. We have a choice. It was in the year 2020 that I saw COVID. And I also saw the Lord lifted high. It was in the year 2020 that I saw election chaos. But I also saw the Lord. And he was high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. It was in the year 2020 that nothing went the way I thought it was going to go. But I beheld. I beheld the glory of God. So let's look at after beholding. What happened with Isaiah? Verses 6 through 8. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal and he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed. Your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" Isaiah, who was filled with guilt and shame, who had been cleansed, now says, "Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me." I hear the voice of the Lord over us today. Whom will I send to go and love my people? Who will I send to go and show kindness to my people? Who will I send to go and show reason and truth to my people? Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." You see, in that moment, I believe Isaiah got transformed by the beholding, but then the transformed becomes the transformer. What I happen to like about the Transformer toys is that they go from one thing to another, but then they're not stuck there. When Optimus Prime becomes a truck, he doesn't stay a truck. He becomes Optimus Prime again. Do you see? We go from beholding to transforming. We go from transformed to transformer. Got it ready? You see, he goes from Optimus Prime to a truck, back to Optimus Prime, back to a truck when he needs to. We behold God, we get transformed, and then we transform into a transformer. We become a transformer to those around us. Next, I want to look at Joshua. Joshua, oh, he's such a great person in the Bible. I love how real he is, though. Like, he still battles fear, and he's real clear on it. Talk about someone who needed confirmation after confirmation after confirmation from God. He did. But let's look at him before beholding. In Exodus 33, 8 through 11, it says this, whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, now the tent of meeting was the physical place where God dwelled. Even though God is omnipresent, he would dwell in the tent of meeting. That's important to know. And all the people would get up and stand at the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover over at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their tents. Inside the tent of the meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. That is mind-blowing to me. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp. Here's the part about Joshua you want to pay attention to. But the young man who assisted him, Joshua son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. He made it his life mission to behold God. That's what he did. He beheld God. What we know about Joshua at this point is, number one, he assisted, and number two, he beheld. When Moses would go out and he'd have to put a veil on because he had seen the glory of God, he would go out back to the people. Joshua stayed in the tent of meeting and dwelt with the Lord. He remained. Think about John 15 and God's prayer for us to remain, to abide. I pointed out months ago the word abide means to stay, to continue to be held. Nikki has it tattooed on her arm if you want to see it afterwards. Just stay 6 feet away. She's got the word abide because that word struck her in such a powerful way. This is what Joshua did. He made a choice to behold and abide. He continued to be held by God. So, after beholding, in Deuteronomy 31, 14 through 15, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, the time has come for you to die. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tabernacle so that I may commission him there. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tabernacle, and the Lord appeared to them in a pillar of cloud that stood at the entrance to the sacred tent. Chapter 31, verse 23. Then the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, with these words, be strong and courageous, for you must bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you. You see, before beholding, all he knew how to do was behold. That's it, and assist. Assist, behold, assist, behold, assist, behold. That's a good thing to do. But because of that, God chose Joshua to replace Moses when it was time for Moses to die. So after that, Joshua went from assist and behold to lead and behold. If we spend enough time beholding, we will become leaders. He chose someone who had assisted and knew how to abide. But his instructions are so important and they're so needed for each of us every moment of every day right now. Be strong. Have courage. You must bring the people into their promise. Be strong. Have courage. Bring people into their promise. So what does that mean for us? What does all that mean for us? Before beholding, all I can see is death and disease and fear and hatred and division and guilt and shame. After beholding, I see God. I see his power. I worship. I worship. We speak his message, not ours. We speak his message, not ours. We have strength. We have courage. We lead people into God's promise for them. Ken and I were talking before service, and we're just amazed at how ripe the harvest is right now. People are so hungry for something greater than we have. We're learning not to put our faith in a political party. We're learning not to put our faith even in the medical community, although I'm thankful for our medical community, that's not where my faith is ultimately. I'm thankful for when God can work with medicine. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for that, but that's not where ultimately my faith doesn't lie there. We're learning that being right is sometimes needs to come under submission to being loving. Because we can behold God, you see. If we can behold God, we have it in the right order. We can love first and then share what we think is true without arrogance, without arrogance. So get transformed in beholding, then become a transformer. Become a transformer. What does that look like? I don't think it looks like preaching, although I'm thankful for the opportunity to do so. I think what I do here on Sunday morning is important, but what I do in my neighborhood is just as important. And there have been moments when it's been easier to be here than there. You know? But I have a call on my life that involves this, but it also involves becoming a transformer to people I encounter every day, at Drug Mart, at Heinen's, in my neighborhood. I have a calling. You have a calling on your life. That is not just for pastors. That is for everybody. You touch people that I can't touch. You see people, you talk to people that I don't see or talk to. Behold, get transformed, then become a transformer. We'll talk more about that next week because we're going to really deal with it quite a bit next week on transformers to bring heaven to earth. That's the title of my message next week, to bring heaven to earth. But before we go, I want to share in corporate communion, so if Megan or Doug, whoever's planning to, could come to the keys and do something for us. Remember, as you go to communion, to sanitize your hands and then pick up communion and then to bring it back to your chair, and we'll take communion together, okay? So you can, on your mark, get set, go. Thank you. Megan continues to play, I want you to think of one thing you love about God. And from where you are, in a big voice, use your diaphragm, I want you to call out what you love about God. I'll start to give you a moment to think. Just behold him for a moment and think about what you love about him. I love that he is a strong tower for me. I love that he is a strong tower for me. When I'm afraid, I go to the strong tower. When I'm feeling weak, I go to the strong tower. When I'm feeling misunderstood, I go to the strong tower. When I make mistakes, I go to the strong tower. What do you love about God? Faithful, he loves you. Mercy. Shepherd, oh, yes. He's a shepherd. Anybody else? What do you love about God? He knows you. Yes. 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 He helps you. Yes. He's always there. Yes. Say it loud for me. He does. He loves everyone. Take your mask down and yell it out. Yes, he's always somebody that I can talk to. Ah, when you start beholding him, things change. Did you? No. Yes. Amen. Amen. What a beautiful opportunity to go before the Lord in communion now. Thank you, God, for this bread that represents the broken body of Jesus. We can be whole, that we can be whole, that we can be delivered, that we can be saved. We don't have to stay in our filthy lips. We can be saved from ourselves, from our mistakes, from our flaws, from our arrogance. Thank you. Let's take the bread together. Juice that makes it possible for me to call you Abba, Daddy. That it makes it possible that I can call you my friend and you can call me your friend. That you can call me a beloved child. That I am no longer alienated from you. I am close to you. You are not the God in the distance. You are the God right next to me, inside me. Thank you for that. Thank you, God. Thank you. We celebrate that right now in this moment and we remember it. Let's take the juice. Disease.
see you high and lifted up. We see you high and lifted up.
If you've been battling depression, I feel like there's somebody in the room that's really been battling depression, and you feel like you question whether it's even worth going on in this life, that it feels like it would just be easier to go to sleep and never wake up than to deal with what you have to deal with. I just speak to that spirit that is trying to influence you, and I say, you must go in the name of Jesus. Challenge you, if that's you and you feel like you've been influenced by that voice, you get a picture of God high and lifted up above it all. You see, I don't have to know how he's going to work it out. I don't have to know what it's going to look like on the other side. All I have to do is look at him and behold him and do what we've been doing this morning. Look at him. Look at what you love about him. Tell him what you love about him. That's all you do. And if you need prayer with a person today, after service, come up here and we'll find somebody to pray with you, no problem. If you want us to wear a mask, we'll wear a mask. If you don't want us to touch you, we won't touch you. If you do, we will. You call the shots. If you want prayer, come up and we will pray. But God is bigger, God is better, God is more powerful. And there is revival breaking out in this country. I'm telling you, there is revival breaking out in this country where we're going to see God move like never before. I am so convinced of it. So thank you for coming. Have a great week. Behold God, morning and night. Behold God, behold God, behold God, behold God. Watch how your life changes. Watch how your thoughts change when you behold God. And next week, Transformers to bring heaven to earth. Okay? Love you guys. If there's some of these left, if anybody wants to take some home for other people, feel free. Take as many as you want.